episode 43. Get out of here, Satan. What up, everybody? Very special episode. Got my boy Guap in the building.
What's happening?
And Chris.
Yes, sir.
Lit. We lit. It's going to be an interesting topic, interesting little hour we got going. So before we get started, let's go ahead and pray, get our minds right, and let that spirit flow. Dear God, Lord, we just welcome you into this time, God, and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead. Lord, for the Holy Spirit to fill us, to fill the listeners, God, and prepare our minds and hearts for the message that is going to be spoke, God. I pray that, Lord, this time will bring glory to your kingdom and it will be a blessing to you, God. We just want to worship you and praise you for the amazing, beautiful, awesome God that you are, the way you move in our lives, God, the way you created our life, and the way that, Lord, one day we will all be at home with you in heaven, God. We thank you, Jesus, Lord. Just bless the hearts and ears of those listening. In your almighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to start off. I'm going to just let Guap go ahead and introduce himself, and let's see where this goes.
Hey, what's up, man? I'm Guap. Make music, and, you know, I've been going through a lot recently. Been trying to get closer to God. My dog Harrison, he's been, I don't even know what they call you.
Wally.
Wally?
Yeah,
okay, my bad. Didn't mean to drop the real name on here. But my boy Wally, been my friend for a long time now. And I just love what he's doing with the platform, with the podcast. And, you know, I just wanted to shed some light on, you know, mental health and, you know, anxiety. Because, you know, life can get crazy. Especially if you stray away from God, and you're taking on all your problems by yourself, it gets hard. So that's basically what we're going to talk about, is just learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. Just trust in God more.
Amen to that. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we could start off just, so you're saying you're trying to grow closer to God, just for, you know, someone who might be in that same position, what does that really look like to you?
So, like, it's not going to church every Sunday or joining the choir or, you know, going to Bible study every Wednesday or whenever, you know, people have Bible study. It's really just building your own relationship with God. God is he's a gentleman. He's always going to accept you. He's never going to, you know, cast iron against you or make you feel less of yourself. He's like, when you're going through all the chaos in the world, and you just sometimes feel like giving up or whatever like that, and you wonder why you're still here, it's God. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really is God. And I know I felt like, you know, giving up and like, oh, like this is not what I want. Like, this is, you know, I'm done. Like, I want to give up. Like, I don't want to be here. And I was asking myself every day, like, why am I here? Like, why is this happening to me? Instead of asking God, like, why is this happening for me? You know what I'm saying? You gotta, it's hard, but a lot of people don't trust God, or they don't want to get close to God because it's hard to trust what you can't see. You know what I mean? And I get that. But, you know, he's definitely real. He's definitely an almighty God. It's definitely a higher power. And, you know, once you get closer to God, the problems are not just going to go away. But they're going to get easier to control and easier to regulate. You know what I mean? So getting closer to God doesn't mean going to church every Sunday or, you know, reading your Bible every day. Like, you should do those things, like, but it's not the end all be all. Like, everybody has their own personal relationship with God.
Yeah. No, that's real. Well, I got it. I'm locked in. No, but I really like what you were saying. You know, a lot of it seems like it's a mindset. You know what I mean? Because you could either get so caught up in the chaos and the mess and let it define you and let it take you out. Or what you could do is take on the adversity, and that builds perseverance, right? And the perseverance brings hope. And that hope allows you to see that, you know, God is moving and God is working. It may not be right in this moment that you see it, but one day when you, you know, reach that glory, when you reach that place where you feel one with God and you know that these problems you're facing isn't the end of the world, it isn't the end of your life, it isn't worth giving up, you know what I mean? That's the hope we're searching for. That's the freedom that God is trying to give you, you know? And when you're saying, you know, growing closer to God, like, a lot of people kind of twist that and they think that God is somewhere else, you know what I'm saying? When in reality, God is right here. God is right here in the middle of your chaos. God is right here in the midst of all the craziness you're living in, you know what I mean? He didn't take a break when your life got bad. You know what I'm saying? He's there waiting for you to choose him. You know what I'm saying? He's waiting for you to grab on to his hand of protection, his hand of favor, his hand of love, you know, because when we get so caught up in this world, it can get overwhelming. And that's when we get those feelings of, why am I here? Is this even worth it? Should I keep going? You know, and I know, Guap, you probably have had those feelings just based on, you know, your role in the music industry, you know what I mean? As an artist, you know, and then not only that, as just a man, bro, it's hard to try to take all that on your own, you know? And that's why I get so excited when you do reach out and you want to know about God, or you want to pray, or you want to, you know, get in your Bible. You tell me you're reading your Bible, because that's showing that you're growing, you're evolving, and you're kind of understanding that, look, you're not strong enough to do this on your own, and none of us are. You know what I'm saying? Like, without God, there's nothing. There's no hope. This life is impossible, you know, but with God, all things are possible. One of the most popular verses in the world, pretty much, I'd say 80% of dudes in America got this verse tatted on them. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And I'm saying that because I got it. I got it. It was my second tat, bro. And was I at all reading the Bible or living through Christ? No. But I thought it was a good idea, you know? And I'm glad I did now, because I can understand it. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Strengthens me. Without Christ, I'm weak, you know? And I can't do anything on my own, but through him, the doors open, right? The right doors, and some doors close, you know? And that's a hard thing for a lot of people, when it seems like a lot more doors are closing than opening. But that's us living based on our own mindset, instead of looking, okay, what's the bigger picture? What is God doing when he closes these doors? Is it him trying to save me from something I really couldn't handle? Or is it him still preparing me for what is next? You know what I mean? And so what I've been trying to focus on is just getting out of myself, getting out of my plan, and trusting that, you know, things aren't exactly how I want them to be or how I would have thought they would have gone. But because of God's word, I can see that he makes no mistake. I can see that his good and perfect will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Heaven's perfect. So if his perfect will is done on earth as it is in heaven, we can know that this was all according to his plan. Every moment, every second, our life is accounted for by God, right? And that makes sense when you trust in that and you believe that. But when you don't know that, when you haven't gotten your word, when you haven't gotten prayer, when you don't have brothers and sisters around you uplifting you, and you feel alone, that's when it seems too big to handle, you know what I mean? So that's just our goal for today, you know, is just to bring some hope, just shed some light on, you know, some issues if you're facing mental battles, you know, anxiety, depression, you know, suicidal, whatever the case may be, you know, and that's really sad, and I hate to hear that, but it's a reality we live in this world, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I like how you was talking about like just reading your Bible, going to Bible study every Wednesday, just reading the Bible every day is not really what counts. It's like something that really convicted me. I've been doing a lot of Romans study because I think it's deep theology that, you know, I've read through Romans before, and but like just kind of a brief read through, and I kind of been going back to like really dive deep into it. But it was like one of the verses that really convicted me was, it says, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And it just made me think about how much I do that is sin, because there's a lot of stuff that I do that isn't preceded by faith. A lot of stuff, like even just reading scripture, like this is what I'm supposed to do and that's why I'm doing it, you know, rather than like, I know who God is, I know that God's true, and I know that he is good, you know. So like you said that, and I think that's, there's a lot in that, right? It's like, why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it because of how I know God, and is it because of my relationship with him? Or is it because everyone else is doing it, or because that's what the church says to do, or, you know, whatever it is along those lines. And so like one of the things that like we wanted to talk about a little bit was mental health, right? Like that was one of the things, which that's fire. And so, and Wally just brought up the, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It reminds me of this in America, like something that's really happened is we have so much access to so much different therapies and so much hospitals and all this stuff. Is like this guy I go to a Bible study with, he went to Haiti for a mission trip, and he said it's completely different there. Like he said that there was a dude there walking through Haiti, and there's a dude like fell down, started having a seizure, they don't have the same access to, like our first reaction is going to be 911. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to think about prayer and God and all. Like, we're just thinking about, like, let's get homeboy to the hospital and get him fixed up and he'll be all right. They don't have that. So, like, their reaction is just, we gotta, they just ran over to him, they said, and they started praying over him. And he said it was, like, miraculous. Like, the dude just stood up like nothing had even happened. And because I've had seizures before. Hashtag throwback to the good old days. Those withdrawals, brutal. But they, when you wake up, you don't know anything. Like, the EMTs were there, and I didn't know where I was, who was around me. I didn't know the date. I didn't know the time. Like, your brain, because they cut the oxygen off from your brain. You don't know anything that's happening. He said the dude, stood up and walked away. Like, he knew exactly, like, where he was at. Like, he knew everything that was going on. I was like, it's a true miracle. And so what I say with that, like, because you do bring up mental illness, is, like, our first reaction is like, dang, I need to read a self-help book. I need to get some therapy. Like, we don't think, like, I need to go to God, right? And truly it's because I think we have so much worldly access that we don't realize that God's truly, you know, there's a preacher, Spurgeon. And I was talking about him a little bit ago. He's a preacher from the 1800s. And he talks about he used to get depressed and he used to tell himself, like, God could take this from me if he wanted to, but he's not, because it's in his will that I have it right now. And he says he's not always sure why the reason it is that you've got a struggle that you've got, but he knows that God knows why. And so you talk about trust. It's like, there's so much in my life I feel like I need to trust God. There's more in my life that I need to trust God with, that, like, struggles that come up for me where I'm like, God, what are you doing with my life right now? And it's like, I need to be at a point where it's like, God knows everything. God knows more about me than I know about me. God could take this from me instantly if he wanted to, but he's leaving it here for a reason, right? There's something greater, bigger than me that I can't see, and I just need to trust in this big God. You know, it's not always that I need to, like, dive into therapy. Sometimes I need to dive into my Bible. I need to know who God is. I need to know how good he is. I need to know how loving he is, how much grace and mercy he's given me, right? And then it's like with that, usually, you know, because yesterday, bro, I was getting, like, my heart was beating real fast. I like how you brought up anxiety. I think that's a really relatable one. But I was, like, getting that real, where you can't, like, breathe almost. And I just started reading this verse I'm trying to memorize about trust God with your whole heart, like, wholeheartedly. And I just kept reading it. And I was just like, God, I want, because you don't even know what you're worried about. You know what I mean? Like, that anxiety is crazy. You can't even, like, point to what you're worried about. It's just, like, something stressing me out. And I just kept reading that verse and praying. And it was like, God really is the one who could take that stuff from me. I don't necessarily need all this therapy and all this stuff. I just trust that God really got me. But yeah, I think mental health is a really good one. And I don't know one person who doesn't listen to this that hasn't experienced one of the, you know, I mean, there's so much different stuff that we got going on now, but that's fire.
A lot of stuff has to do with circumstances. Like I said, like, certain stuff in my life that's happened to me, like, just has definitely made me, you know, question, you know, my existence, you know, to put it in short terms. And you know, even in 2019, Wally knows, I had a daughter. She was a stillbirth. You know, God rest her soul. But after that happened, you know, I spiraled. You know, just doing different drugs, just popping Percocet, stuff like that. You know, stuff that would make me feel good at the time. But, you know, like, slowly over time, I became dependent on them. Mm. And it was affecting my life, my relationship with people. I wasn't the same person. Like, I wasn't exactly like a zombie, but I was, like, functioning off of them. But, like, I needed them. And really the only thing that you need is God. It's a bunch of stuff, like my thing is walking by faith, not by sight. That's basically just like, even if, like, there's a bunch of chaos around you and, like, you don't exactly see where you're going, you just have to trust God and just know that you're on the right path. And if you're not on the right path, then you need to figure out how to get on the right path, because we have all these resources, like therapy, you know, I can't really think of any more off the top of my head for, like, just mental health. But I mean, the therapy will work, but you still have to trust God. Like, if you're going to therapy and you don't have a relationship with God, I promise you, you're going to feel the same way. No matter how much money you spend, no matter how much you go, you're going to feel the same way. Mm-hmm. You have to get that relationship with God. You have to build that relationship with God, because like I said, that's at the end of the day, that's the only thing that you need is His grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. You don't need nothing else. And you know, he pulled me out that rabbit hole for sure. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here. I would have probably OD'd a long time ago. You know what I mean? Like I've flooded my body with Percocets. I probably popped 6 Percocets at one time. And I mean, I'm not saying do it, but
don't do it.
You pop 6 Percocets, bro. You're gonna feel something. And you know, God was definitely, I definitely had the hand of God on me. And having praying parents works too. Like, if you're not necessarily the closest to God and you're not praying every day, having parents that pray and that are deep in prayer, that will save your life, bro. I promise you. Amen. Mom's a praying mom. My grandparents are praying grandparents. Like, so I have multiple people around my life who are praying people, like prayer warriors for real. And that'll protect you. Like, it sounds cliche, but I promise you, once you start walking by faith and not by sight, you'll understand what I'm saying right now. It's a lot of stuff in the world. Life is beautiful. You know what I mean? If you're going through, you know, depression and anxiety, life is a beautiful thing. You got to accept the good with the bad. There's no bad without good. There's no good without bad. You know what I mean? So, you know, sometimes God will test you just to see how much of life you can handle. Like, how much of life can you really take? Like, oh, you lose somebody. Like, oh, life sucks. Life doesn't suck. Life is beautiful. Because life gives us the ability to overcome. You know what I mean? Like, life gives us the ability to keep going. Like, it's very easy to give up. I put it like this. Life is almost like a game. Some people get stuck on a level, and they'll put the controller down, and they'll never play that game again. Mm-hmm. They'll give up, and they'll either find another game, or they'll honestly just never turn the console on again. You know what I mean? And then there's other people who get stuck on a level and will not put that controller down until they get past that level. And those are the people who will make it. Like, those are the people who will be successful, who will, you know, have a voice for the voiceless, have hope for the hopeless. You know what I mean? Like, you need those people who don't give up, because everybody's not the same. Everybody doesn't have the same willpower, the same mindset. But, you know, like I said, reverting back to my mom, just her being a praying mom and her keeping faith, that saved me so many times. Because when I lost my daughter, I had zero faith. Like, I questioned God. I was, you know, just doing a lot of ungodly things. And the only reason I'm still here is because I had praying parents and people who really trusted God. You know what I mean? So, life is beautiful, man. Life is beautiful. The purpose of life is just to enjoy what you have while we journey through it. You know, so you just gotta keep following your journey, man. And it gets better. You know what I mean? It's not whatever you're going through, it's not the end of the world. It may feel like the end of the world, but it get better for sure.
Yeah, bro. There's so much I want to go off what you just said. I'm gonna start just read one verse real quick, and it's I read it last week. I really love it. I've been reading it a lot, and I've been telling a lot of people about it. It's James chapter 1 verse 2 through about 4. So it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So exactly what he was just talking about, them trials you're facing, the struggles you're having, the addictions you're fighting, the mental illnesses you're fighting, we have to trust God enough to where we can still rejoice, where we can still find joy in those dark times, knowing that this is not the end and that God is not done working. And that takes me to a conversation I had last night when you said circumstance. I had a conversation last night that showed me that my faith was very circumstantial. You know, because I was with one of my boys and we were kind of, it got a little weird, honestly. Like, we were expressing our, like, deepest fears to each other, which was cool and bad at the same time. Because I haven't done that much, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't like to focus on my fear, because when I'm in fear, I'm showing zero faith. If I focus so much energy on what I'm worried about instead of trusting in God, I'm beating myself down into the ground, you know what I mean? So it was kind of refreshing to be able to get it off my chest, just to say it, and I don't have to say it anymore. I don't have to think about it. But it's a perfect example of this circumstantial. I told him my fear, right? And I told him if this happened, I don't think I would be able to keep doing what I'm doing. I think I would get drunk. I think I would lose it all, right? And I said to him after that, that shows I have circumstantial faith, right? Because when things are really good in my life, I love God, dude. I am praising God. I'm on the podcast. I'm reading my Bible, right? But the minute one hiccup comes, one bump in the road, my mind instantly runs to this escape route, right? Where I'm going to run away from God, where I'm going to go back to my old ways, where I'm going to do this on my own because clearly this isn't working, right? And that is showing no faith. I don't want to have that faith. I want to have foundational faith that through the storm, through the trials, it doesn't give up. It doesn't run away. It digs in deeper to God. You know, I want to have a Job type faith. I want to, even if I lose it all, you know what I'm saying? I want to know that I didn't even lose it all because I have everything I need in God, right? If I'm putting so much value in things of this world that I'm saying I lost it all, that is bad, you know what I'm saying? Because if I lost every single thing, every dollar, every house, every friend, every family member, right, God would still be there, you know? And that is the faith that we're striving for. That is the faith that is going to be there from now to the end of time, you know, till the minute I meet him face to face. That is the faith that is going to last, you know? And I just think it's crazy, like, how in this world, right, we base how content we are on our circumstance, right? Wherever we are in life, that's how content we are. So if we're not where we want to be, we are discontent, we're irritable, we're restless, and we're trying to do everything we can to medicate ourselves, right? Whether that's through drugs, alcohol, women, you know what I'm saying? Or if you're a lady, men, or porn, or whatever the case may be, whatever's going to bring us some type of validation to make us more content, right? And we completely let God go, right? We choose what's going to help us, what we're desiring for ourselves, instead of seeing what God wants for us, right? And that takes me to James chapter 4. And it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Your desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Right? So what is that? What is the common theme in this? Selfishness. We're focused on us, right? And God's not going to give us this thing that we're asking for because we know we're not going to steward it in the right way. We're not going to use it to glorify him or to help other people, right? It's all about me, 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 right? And when we get in that position of just focused on me, where we hunker down in selfishness, dude, that's a dirty place. That's a dark place. It's hard to get out of that because what are we called to do, right? God's greatest command, love God and love people. Where does it say love me, right? Where does it say gather riches for me, store riches up for me? Where does it say get success for me? Nowhere, right? Everything we do should be for the glory to God and to help another person, right? And that's the whole point of the book of James is it's showing your faith, right? It's living out your faith. It's having the transformational faith we were talking about, right? Because if I'm saying I got this faith, right, but that's all I'm doing is saying it and no one else can tell, then how much faith do I really have, right? My faith should be shown through my fruits. You know what I mean? And it goes on to say this. And this is what Pastor Alex talked about at Grace Family Church today. The next part is, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That is why God says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Right? So let's just start at the beginning, because this is how it was broken down to me and I understood it real well. Adulterous people, right? That's what we are. And adultery in a relationship setting is, you know, a man and woman who are married, and adultery happens when one of them steps out of the marriage and has sexual relations with another man or woman, right? So God, at the end part, right, it says he jealously longs for the spirit that he has caused to dwell within us. So God jealously wants to be with us. He is a jealous God. He wants to be one with us. He doesn't want to be our backup. He doesn't want to be our third in the roster. You know what I'm saying? He wants to be number one, right? But we don't choose him. We choose these other things, and we commit adultery almost to God, right? Because we're basically cheating on God by medicating ourselves, right? We're cheating on God by relying on another person over him. We're cheating on God by relying on ourselves instead of God, you know? And he's trying to teach us that. He's trying to teach us the right way to walk in his word. But if we don't open his word, how are we going to know how to walk, right? We're so focused on the world that we are becoming enemies with God. And all he asks you to do is resist the devil and come near to him. That's all he asks you to do. Resist the devil, you know? And how do you do that? Not on your own. Never on your own can you resist the devil. The devil is too smart. He's too tricky. He will get you every time you're alone. So that's why we need other people around us, right? We need a tribe. We need a community. And we need someone who's going to keep it real with us, who's going to tell us when we're doing wrong, you know, even if it hurts our feelings, right? And the goal of all this is to grow closer to him so that we can show his light and his love and show that this world, this life is beautiful. You know, this life is not called to be torturous and hell and all this stuff. We're called as believers of God, as followers of God, to bring that little piece of heaven we can to earth. But instead, we're so focused on us, we're creating our own little hell, our own little prisons, right? And we're trapped in it. The society is trapped in it, dude. Think about how many people are anxious and depressed and all this stuff. And think about how many people told themselves that, self-diagnosed themselves that, and now they identify with that. I don't want to identify as anxious or depressed or suicidal, you know what I'm saying? I want to, yeah, crackhead. I don't want to identify as none of that. I want to identify as a chosen son of God. You know, someone who's been redeemed and set free, you know, from whatever struggle, whatever pain, whatever mental disease or illness. I want to be set free. And the only way to be set free is from Jesus. That's why he was on the cross. His blood has set us free for eternity. He said to tell the star on the cross, which means it is done. It is done. The battle has been won. It is over. The minute we choose him, we have freedom. And that freedom we're looking for, whatever success or confidence or whatever, is already within us. He placed the spirit within us. Because he so jealously wanted to be one with us. And we're over here looking for the Lord. The Lord not lost, bro. We're lost. We're lost people. We're lost his civilization, bro. Grab on to God. Tighten up.
I like where it's going. You said something. You said selfishness, and you also brought up how would I react if something happened. I don't know. What was it? What would be the thing that you don't want to share it?
I could share it. I love my wife. Let me start off by saying that. Dude, but like as couples do, we argue, right? And that's even what was in James chapter 4 is conflict, right? And even if you're not in a relationship or married, you argue with someone in your life, whether it's parents, friends, coworkers, right? Conflict comes from selfishness, right? Conflict comes from wanting to choose me over the person, right? And in my marriage, it's so important I choose God before her and I choose her before me, right? And recently, I've not been doing a very good job of that. I'm taking accountability because I know that I've been messing up, right? And so we've been fighting a lot. And not bad. It's okay to fight. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. Growth comes through that if you approach it the right way, you know? And I think that's something to be proud of. I think that's something to celebrate because, you know, since we've known the Lord, like, our fights have been way better because there's a solution and there's resolution, more importantly, right? It doesn't just linger. It isn't swept under the rug. So I was just telling my buddy, I was like, dude, my biggest fear is, like, divorce, you know what I'm saying? And then now we got the baby, and it would just kill me, like, if something happened to a point where she felt, like, say I keep messing up so bad that she felt she needed to leave and, like, the baby was gone or whatever. Like that would kill me. I was like, I would get drunk 1,000%. And even the fact that I said divorce, even the fact that I said leaving, even the fact that I said get drunk, that showed where my faith was at that moment. You know what I'm saying? And that's not where I want my faith to be at all. you know.
I'm glad you shared that, bro.
Yeah.
You're about to hold out.
Bro. Yeah, hey, I might get in trouble later, but I love my wife. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Rest of the podcast, I'm telling you, some, like,
I love you. I won't play it. Yeah.
Dude, I got her tatted on my face, bro.
Yeah, you're locked in. You're stuck, bro. It could just be for Chris, though.
Hey,
just leave it on there. It's my dog.
C for Christ.
Yeah, there you go. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Nah, that's fire, though. Yeah, bro, that's I feel like that's relatable for, like, a lot. I mean, every man ever. Every man I talk to, at least, that's relatable. So, dude, this is off of, like, what we're talking about. I'll get back into that. But, like, one of the things I heard that was really fire is, like, when you're picking your wife, the pastor was like, make sure that's somebody who can love their enemies, because at some point y'all are going to be the enemy. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, make sure that that's a quality, a trait that you see in the woman that, you know, you're getting together with, which, bro, I've seen it in both of y'all. So y'all have definitely got that. And that's from Christ alone. That's the Holy Spirit that allows us to do something like that. But that was good, bro. I'm glad you opened up with that. But, to that point, like, we get afraid. I, you know, love Job, dude. That's such a good book of the Bible. And basically, we've gone over Job a lot, but I'll go over it real quick again. Job is a righteous man. He's good. His works, they follow, you know, how God wants us to live. It says that in the book. God, he becomes the sad option for a bet that God makes with the devil, as far as, hey, Job is not going to fall. Like, he's a good, faithful servant. Devil takes a bunch of stuff from him. And Job is faithful, right? And then, once again, devil goes around, looks for someone to mess with. God's like, try Job a second time. Comes back, crushes him even worse. Job's friends come along. They're horrible friends. They keep giving him crazy information. And he eventually falls, basically. And then Elihu, the youngest friend who wasn't talking, rebukes Job and says, hey, this is what the Lord says. And actually at the end of the book of Job, the only person that God doesn't rebuke is Elihu, right? Like, Elihu stayed faithful and was like, bro, it's like, you're talking about God here. You can't, right? Even if he's done all of this stuff to you, it's like, you know, it's God. And basically what happens in the end is God answers Job, because Job says, bro, what are you doing? Like, why'd you do this to me? I've been righteous. I've been faithful. And he still thinks the whole time that he did something wrong, but he can't find what he did wrong. You know what I mean? So he's like, hey, I'm a righteous man. Why would you do this? And then God answers him by telling him basically how small he is and how big God is. And God just goes through this whole list of, you know, who are you to ask me why I'm doing what I'm doing to you, right? And he tells him, I'll just read one part of it. There's two chapters full of what God's doing in the whole wide realm of the universe, right? We get so focused on our little life, we can't see the bigger picture a lot of the times, and that's very common. But just one spot: has the rain a father, or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb did the ice come forth, and who has given birth to the frost of heaven? The waters become hard like stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades, or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth the Masoreth in their season, or can you guide the bear with its children? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish their rule on the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings, that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts, or given understanding to the mind? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can tilt the water skins of the heavens? When the dust runs into a mass and the clods stick fast together, can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions? When they crouch in their dens, or lie in wait in their thicket, who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God for help and wander about for lack of food? And he goes into a bunch of stuff, but basically he's saying, like, you know, he's watching the lions, he's watching the bears, you know, he's the one who's basically feeding all of these animals and keeping them healthy, or killing them off, or, you know, making them have more offspring, right? Because we know animals are obviously no conscience, you know, they're just animals. He's talking about the rains. Can you flood the earth? Can you put lightning out? Can you tell, hey, sky, do some lightning, right? You can't do none of that. And God's just saying, I do all of this. and you're worried about this little tiny aspect of what happened in your life, and here I am giving you wisdom. Basically that one verse, right? God giveth, God taketh away. If you have anything, be grateful for God. And if he's taking it away, be grateful that you ever had it to begin with, right? And then so he goes into all that, and then Job's response is basically just, God, you're so big and I'm so small, right? Like, he finally sees it. He sees that God is doing something so much bigger than what he could possibly see in this right in front of his face type stuff, right? Like, he sees that he's losing. He got real sick. You know, he had lesions all over his body that were getting infected. All his kids died. He lost all of his land. He lost all of his crop. He lost all of his animals, right? And that's what he sees, is exactly what's in front of him. You know, just like he said, is lead by faith without sight, right? What was it? Walk by faith, not by sight, right? And that's exactly what God tells Job, is like, bro, you have no idea what the bigger picture is. And it's a humbling book to read. It really is. It really shows me that it's like, whatever things are happening in my life, I can be okay knowing that God knows that they're happening for a reason. You know, God sees what's going to happen in 20 years. One of my favorite things I heard, Wally might have told me this, is like, God knows what every heart of the people around me are doing, right? So it's like, some people might leave my life and I'm like, God, why would you take them from me? But it's like, God saw their heart. God saw their mind. I didn't see that. I don't see what's behind closed doors. So it's like, maybe there was a reason for that. You know, God sees all that stuff, dude. And it's like, I can only see this small. Like, I'm a very finite, small being. And to make myself right size and make God super big tends to help so much with a lot of the problems I think we got.
You want to spit something, Wapo?
Yeah, no, for sure. Just to kind of, you know, piggyback off of, you know, what Chris was saying, especially with relationships. I just got out of a relationship recently, and not to throw her under the bus, but I mean, she just wasn't of God. I mean, she was an atheist, and I still accepted her for that. You know, I'd never bashed her, never judged her for not accepting God or not believing in God. But at the same time, I do believe that's why she's no longer in my life, is because she wasn't of God. So if anybody that's not of God, it's not for me. Just to kind of like go off what you said, it's probably things in her mind and in her heart, or behind closed doors, things that you don't see, conversations that you don't hear, you know what I mean? So, you know, when you lose somebody that you love, or, you know, that you think you love, because a lot of people get love and lust confused, I feel like.
Snap.
That's a big one.
Love
That's
is
a whole episode right there.
Love is definitely, yeah, we can talk about it another day, but like, love is not lust. You know what I mean? Love is unconditional. Love is you accepting a person for their flaws, for their negativity, anything like that, and still being there for them, still supporting them, still by their side, you know what I mean? I asked my grandparents the other day, when I went to go visit them, I said, how did you guys stay together for so long? And it was the most simple answer, but like a complex answer as well. Like, my grandma looked at me dead in my eyes, and I asked her, I said, how did you guys stay together for so long? They've been together for like 47 years or something like that. They said, we're just nice to each other. Like, sometimes it's just as simple as that. And if two people of God can come together, and literally her answer was, we're nice to each other. That goes a long way, because a lot of fights are started over, you know, social media or internet, or, you know, people. Most fights, if I'm not all fights, but most fights are really petty and can really be misconstrued, and a lot of people don't talk anymore, you know what I mean? Like, everything's over text, everything is over, you know, Instagram, and you can't hear tone over text, you know what I mean? Like, if you're in a relationship and you guys are fighting, and it's not detrimental, and it's not like super, super serious, like to the point where like you have to leave, bro, just talk that shit out, bro. Or, excuse my name, talk it out. You know what I mean? It's honestly almost never that deep. And like, when you think about it, it's almost never that deep. If you just give all your problems to God. And like I said, it sounds so cliche to an unfaithful person. Like, I'm not going to give, like, God can't pay my bills. That's what my girl used to say. She was like, God doesn't pay my bills. No, you're right. God doesn't pay your bills, but God gives you the ability to go out and go work,
yeah,
and go, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, God is not just going to drop $100,000 in your lap and say, here, go pay your bills. Like, that's not the type of God he is, because like bro said, you might not be there mentally, that you might not be there in your heart yet spiritually, you know what I'm saying? And if he's going to give something to you, he's going to want you to make something of it, like not just use it for your own selfish ways, or you know, go spend it all on clothes and drugs and girls and stuff like that. Like, he's gonna make sure that you're ready for your blessings before you receive them, you know what I mean? Like even when I make music, like I feel like in the city, like, not to sound cocky or anything, but I feel like my music is
the
good.
Best.
It's the best.
Yeah. In Tampa, 1,000%.
And
what is it?
Like, what, with my music?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Apple, Spotify,
Apple's,
YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
What is it called? Like, what's your...
Oh, Be Guapo. You can find me on any platform, Be Guapo. Just look up Be Guapo on any
one
platform.
One of one.
You type YouTube, sure. Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, it doesn't matter. You can find me. But in my music, I talk about a lot of what I'm going through personally in life. And the other day, I was having a conversation with one of my friends, and she's very religious as well. She's a good Christian. And she was listening to some of my songs, and she was like, you know, Guap, like, this isn't of God. Like, this isn't, like, the vibrations that you want to put out. No. Like, I could kind of agree with her, but at the same time, music has probably been the most expressive form of expression since time started. You know what I mean? Music probably brings more people together than anything in this world. And you know, if I could talk about me being depressed and my testimony and kind of giving my, like, a voice to the voiceless, I feel like that's my main purpose with my music. I want to be able to touch somebody. I want to be able to change somebody's outlook on something, whether that's, you know, creating a good beat, a good rhythm for them to just listen to and forget what they're going through for 2 minutes and 30 seconds. That's an accomplishment for me, because I mean, even when I dropped Apologies, bro, I can show you the SoundCloud messages. This dude, you know how you can like leave messages on SoundCloud and they'll pop up. Mm. One day I was just randomly looking through and I seen it. He said, yo, I found this song in a very dark place in my life, and like, this song has really helped me a lot. And I don't know him from a can of paint. Shout out to whoever you are. But that's my main goal. If I can touch one person a day, bro, I mean, that's a blessing to me. And it's this new dude I've been listening to. His name is Until Japan. And he said, in one of his bars, he said, been praying to Jesus, but he don't hear me, need reefer. And the person I was with didn't like that bar. And I'm telling her, like he might not be expressing the love for Jesus in the way that you want him to. But like I said, music is the most expressive thing. People talk about what they go through in life. And I know that I felt like Jesus didn't hear me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're wavering or you're not, you know, walking by faith. People go through different stuff every day. And it's like, God is an accepting God. Mm-hmm. Even if you waver from him for a little bit and you come back and with a good mindset, good heart, good intentions, pure intentions, he's going to accept you 110% of the time. 110%. He's never going to forget about you. He's never going to, you know, leave you by the wayside. Like, even if you feel like you're drowning, bro, sometimes all you got to do is just say hallelujah anyway. That's what my mama mm-hmm. be telling me. Is even in the midst of struggle and turmoil, chaos, just say hallelujah anyway or amen anyway. Because, you know, you're still here for a reason. Like, anybody who's going through anxiety, depression, or suicidal thoughts, just know that you're still here for a reason. Mm. And, you know, the quicker that you realize that you're here for a purpose and not here for, you know, a season or here to... Because I used to think that I was just made for chaos, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, I wasn't made to be loved, or I wasn't made to do, you know, righteous things. You know, I felt like I was really just meant for chaos for so long, bro. And until I really got, you know, closer to God, as I was straying further and further and further away from God, more stuff was happening and it was piling on. And I was getting those negative thoughts, and I was getting, you know, depressed. I was getting anxiety because I was so boxed in on all the negativity that was going on in my life, and I had no relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Once I got that relationship with God, problems didn't go away, but they got easier, for sure. And just like in the book of Job, I mean, if you go read that book, God put him through the ringer. Like, he put him through the ringer, and he wavered a little bit. And he, at the end of the day, he kept that faith, and God blessed him in more ways than he can count on his finger. You know what I mean? So if you're going through stuff and, you know, you have absolutely nobody to talk to, I call it the devil's hour, 3 a.m.
Oh.
When you wake up at 3 a.m.
Demon time.
That's demon time, bro. You wake up at 3 a.m. I call it the devil's hour just because in my personal, when I was going through my personal struggles, I would, no matter what time I'd go to sleep, bro, it didn't matter. I could go to sleep at 1 a.m., 12 a.m., 10. I would wake up at 3 every single day. And I just felt so alone, bro. And sometimes you just got to give it to God, bro. If you have absolutely nobody to talk to, talk to God. For real.
Bro.
He's there and he's listening.
Bro, pain deeper than the ocean, feel like I'm drowning.
Real talk.
That's one of his bars. But, bro, think about the glory of God, bro, because your greatest talent was executed in the midst of your greatest trial, bro.
For sure.
Like, your pain brought life to so many people. Like, it allowed you to create these songs, bro. Bro, those song, like, every song you have made, I know pretty much every word, dude. And when I've been in some dark places, bro, I would sing them as loud as I could. I'd listen to them over and over and over. And, bro, that is a gift from God, dude. That is a gift from God. You have a gift, bro. You have an opportunity, a platform to reach people. You know what I'm saying? And think about it. Like, now that you're, we're all in pain, bro. There's always going to be pain. But now that you're, you know, I'd say you're on a better side of it, bro. I see it in you. You're more mature. You're walking more in confidence, you know. You're not letting little things take you out like you used to, bro. So through this growth, you know what I'm saying, that you're finding in God and finding and starting to, you know, trust some people and open up, right? The progress that's already been made, imagine what he can do. You know what I'm saying? Imagine all that he can do through you, bro. And it's like, I would really be conscious of what you're saying. You know what I mean? Because, like, how those people are reaching out to you and how I've told you and so many of us have told you, like, how much your music helps. Like, make that your goal to help people. You know what I'm saying? Don't try to blend in with the world or be like everyone else and say all this crazy nonsense that's going to continue to tear us apart, right? Don't be, provoking crime and drugs and violence and all this stuff, bro. Speak your heart, bro, because your heart is powerful, dude. You have a great heart, bro, and it's going to be used for amazing things. And like you were saying when Shorty was like, or the dude, the rapper said, what did he say, talking to Jesus?
Been praying to Jesus, but he don't hear me, need reefer.
Bro, what did I read in James chapter 4? He's not going to answer those prayers because he knows where your heart is and what you're going to do with it, right? So what I say right after that, right? Dude was so discontent, he needed to medicate, bro. And that's what we're doing, bro. Society is medicating on the wrong things. We're distracting ourselves from the bigger picture because right now it's not okay. But one thing you always post, bro, and I love to see it because sometimes you be post some crazy stuff, but you say it gets greater later. You always post that, and it makes me very hopeful because I see that you're starting to believe it. The more you're saying it, you're believing it, right? And you got to listen to your own music sometimes too, bro. Because some stuff you be talking about, I see it happening in your life, and I'm like, I wonder if he sees this, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Open that mind up, bro.
Yeah, man. Dang, I forgot what I was about to say. But shoot, bro. I still be wavering sometimes, bro.
We all do, as we all waver, do.
You know, but at the same time, I know God.
It's people that are wavering out here that don't know God, bro. Mm. And brother, let me tell you, find them and find them fast.
Please.
Find them fast.
No, that's that's good. That's really good stuff, dude. That's really relatable, because you said you feel like you was just like made for chaos, bro. That's like, bro, that's like someone, that's crazy, bro. Praise God, because I feel like that, but sometimes I'm like, damn, bro, I don't feel like no one else feels like that, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, I don't know, just doing the wrong things and like trying not to do the wrong things. And it's like, sometimes, bro, because it talks about in Romans a lot, it talks about he created some people to be an object of wrath to show, and Paul says maybe it's just to show, right, that part of God to people. And bro, a lot of times I'm like, damn, I just the object of wrath, you know what I mean? Like, you know, does he really got me? And like, one thing that I've been really getting into recently is like, quit worrying about so much about me. Like, I am object of wrath. That's really what I should be. It's because Christ that I'm not. But bro, that's hella relatable. And you talked about coming back, and it's like, the prodigal son is like my favorite, probably like my favorite. That whole chapter 15 in Luke actually talks about the lost sheep, lost coin. And I'm gonna read the whole prodigal son real quick. And like, something that's been pointed out to me is like, listen, look who Jesus was talking to when he said that. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. So who's he talking to? Pharisees, scribes, tax collectors, and sinners. Like, basically that's who the Bible was for, really, right? Pharisees and scribes got cooked, you know what I'm saying? Gotcha, them boys, right? But the tax collectors and the sinners, man, this is who Jesus came to save, and there's so much of that throughout the scripture. And praise God that that's who our God is, right? That he's here for the people who really know that they've got it, like they've gotten beat down by life, like they're not, like I know for a fact that I'm evil. That's like one thing. People are like, John Piper, I've shared this before. John Piper talks about, he thinks it's harder to get someone to believe that they have a savior than it is to get them to believe they need to be saved. And he's just saying like, and I'm like, dude, John Piper, that's one thing I got down, bro. I know I need saving, right? And then it's like, what I don't have enough faith in is that Jesus is my savior, as far as like, he did die for me, right? That he didn't pick somebody else or like anything, like he chose me. You know what I mean? And praise God that he did. Thank you, God. So the prodigal son, and he said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and that is my, and what, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Fire. That's so fire. And that's literally like, every time I feel like super down bad about myself, I'm like, I'm the prodigal son, because I did walked away and got the, I had never had a prostitute. Crazy, but that's a good flex, bro. Not having no prostitutes. I know it's a, it's real. That's not a, I, that's not judgment. If you've had prostitutes, guys, obviously, you know what I'm saying? You can come back, door's still open, but it's like, you know what I mean? For, it's not that bad. It's,
keep going.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, bro, it's just, it's crazy that that's how God is. That's just what Jesus is saying. He's just like, this is who your father is, right? And he, what is the son? The son's like, bro, I'm going to just be a servant. And in my brain, that's what I'm like. I'm like, bro, I'll just, God, like, even, like, I've had that prayer. It's a crazy prayer, but I was like, God, even from the object of your wrath, like, I'll just be your servant. Like, I'll just do anything. Like, I just don't want to lose you. Like, I really think that to myself, because I'm like, if I had nothing else, bro, like, life's been beating me down before, you know what I mean? Like, people have definitely heard me, and it's like, I've been at points where I'm just like, God, if like I just have you, I'll be okay. Just please don't ever leave me. And just knowing that that's the God we serve. Like, that's the most, that's so beautiful, dude. And I am such a sinner, you know. And it's like I can get down on my knees at any time and just, I don't know, that's when I feel the closest to him. And it's like I fully know that. And then I just know that he still loves me even though, right? And God doesn't tell him, yeah, you're going to be my servant. He's like, you're my son. And, you know, he takes him in. It's a party up in heaven, dude. And it's like, people don't get that, I feel like. People feel like, you know, it's like, why do I read the Bible? It's like, I just read it because I feel good. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, dang, like, God really loves me, you know? And what's better than that? You know, there's no love of any human that can even compare to the love of God, you know? And it's through all of my evilness. You know, by all means, God should just crush me, dude. By all means. Like, that's something I feel like sometimes. I'm like, God, I almost might feel better if you would just crush me, because it would make a lot more sense. You know, I hear these preachers and they're like, oh, they talk about grace too much and love too much. And it's like, because it makes no sense. Like, if you were to tell me a wrathful God is going to crush me, I'd be like, yeah, bro, I'm pretty messed up. Like, he probably should. You know what I mean? But it's like when they're like, he's actually going to forgive you for all of that stuff you did, and he's going to give you grace and mercy and give you way more than you deserve. It's like, bro, that doesn't make any sense. You know, the actual being who's sitting in heaven listening to me talk about him right now, who could crush me right now, because of all of my wickedness, doesn't. He turns the other cheek and he's just like, bro, I love you. You know what I mean? And then through that, right, it's like, I feel like I should be an object of chaos and craziness. But because of that outpouring love, it's like, I just want to do better. And I suck at it. I do a really bad job of it, like, every day. Dude, me and while we're talking about surrender, you know, just really surrendering my life and all the little aspects. And, like, when you really pay attention to little stuff, you're like, bro, I'm doing a really bad job of this. But it's not me who's doing it, bro. It's the Holy Spirit that works through me. It's God's grace and his mercy. And all of the wickedness that's been taken from me wasn't because I worked extra hard at it. It was just a gift from God. God knew it was constraining me and that I was locked into that sin. And then he freed me from it. And he just keeps doing that. You know, every time a sin becomes obvious to me and I repent, he'll just take it from me, dude. Because I can't. I'm evil. My flesh is evil, dude. And I live with it every day. But he'll just, he's good. He's a really good God. And that's really what we try to preach on here to the sinner. Like, I know we're basers, and I know, you know. Yeah, he said, I don't want that name, bro. He said, actually, nah.
I'm looking at him like, don't do it. Don't do it, nigga.
Yeah. I looked at Wally, bro. I looked at him, and he's like,
Bro.
Yeah.
So I don't, obviously, don't want to be called a baser.
You don't want to identify with that. Yeah. You don't want to identify with that.
I've done my fair share.
Yeah.
I've done my fair share.
Bro, he says 6. That's the exact number, bro. That's the one I be telling people. Like, I probably shouldn't talk about that, but that's like the one, bro. We're like 6. I told Kant, bro. I called up my boy, and he was like, I was like, bro, am I gonna die? Like, I just took 6, and he was like,
bro, you feel?
Oh,
like
you
it.
Be straight. You like I was it. Like,
you
nah, bro.
You feel like it, bro? Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Like, you like 6 is not enough to kill anybody, bro. I mean, like, maybe a toddler.
Yeah.
But like, no, for, like,
somebody at home right now, they're like
medically,
right,
medically
yeah,
speaking.
Don't try it.
But medically speaking, like,
yeah,
it's 6 is not enough.
Dude, we're gonna get canceled. Bro.
No, we're not, bro. It's real life. It's like, real this is real life. People are really like, bro. Like, this is real
I'm
life.
At home with 5 right now.
Like, let me just wait one more. One more, yeah.
But, bro, it's, yeah. I mean, I was a baser before. Definitely. I've definitely been based out. Like, bro, but it's real life, bro. Like, it's a lot. Like, if you go look at it right now, like, I was watching this video on YouTube, bro. And it's a town, bro, called Kensington. It's in Philadelphia, bro. It's called Zombieland.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, bro. What?
Bro, those people over there, I almost called them basers. Those those people over there, bro, they're literally walking zombies. Like, it's a video. This dude came up to the Brandon Buckingham, bro. Yeah, you watch him?
I know what you're talking about.
All right, so Brandon Buckingham, he was on the streets interviewing people, bro, and this dude literally comes up to him. He was like, "Yo, you want to watch me do some trank?" And he was like, I prefer you not to. Like, I would prefer you not to do trank in front of me. And dude looks at him. He was like, "Oh, I certainly will." And, like, it's crazy because, like, I know we're veering off topic, but this is, at the end of the day, this is real life. This is what's really going on in the world. And it's a bigger problem than what people think it is, bro. Like, drug abuse, bro, is, I mean, if you go look at it, bro, fentanyl is the leading cause of death in the United States right now. Like, right now. And people don't even know that they're on it, bro. And once they find out that they've been doing fentanyl, they don't care. Like, they don't care, like, how, they don't care how, like, how much is it affecting them. Like, they're so strung out and so lost. And the only reason I say that is because, like, this is more people than you know are struggling. You know what I mean? Whether that's with addiction, struggling with, you know, everybody's addicted to something, like, whether it's good or bad. Me personally, I used to be addicted to the girl I was with. I would let her dictate how I was feeling, let her dictate my emotions. I would almost rely on her for me being happy instead of relying on God. You know what I mean? And that's why she's no longer in my life. And that's a good thing. You know, sometimes people have to be removed from your life so you can really receive all the blessings that are meant for you. And, you know, I don't do Percocets anymore. But, I mean, if you're watching this or listening to this and you're struggling with addiction, my Instagram is Guapo101. I'll talk to you. I'll let you know, like, because I know you'd, like, me, I quit cold turkey. I stopped completely, bro. I didn't, and it was, bro, it was hell. Like, it was bad, bro. Like, I'm, like, fetal position, cold sweats, not being able to eat, like, headaches, migraines, bro. Like, it's bad, bro. And, but it's probably the best thing that I've ever done, bro. Like, those two to three weeks, bro, I was going through the ringer, bro. Like, I was asking to, you know, for it to be over. You know, I was asking, like, I was praying to God to kill me in my sleep, literally. And I'm just being vulnerable just to let people know that they're not alone. You know what I mean? Like, I've been through a lot, and I've overcome a lot too. Mm-hmm. So if anybody needs to, like, who's going through addiction, like opioid addiction, anything that has to do with, like, drug related addictions, bro, hit me up. I'm more than happy to help you get through that problem.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely a big problem, and it has a lot to do with, you know, it's a mental health crisis right now as we speak, and drugs have a lot to do with them. Mm. I mean, it's if you go look at it, like, I seen something on Twitter the other day, like, almost, like, close to 20 something people every day in the nation kill themselves.
That's crazy.
And, like, bro, it's really real. And God is there for you. Mm-hmm. God is with you through your pain. God is with you through your turmoil, through your trials, through your tribulations. Mm-hmm. And if you just reach out, he's going to grab you. Mm-hmm. But you have to reach out. Because if you keep going down that path, like, yes, God is an all-forgiving God, but God will let you sin. God will let you walk away from him. Because, like Wally said, he wants you to be one with him. He wants you to put him first.
So if you are walking away from him, he is not going to chase after you. He is not going to come to you in a dream. He's not going to, none of that. He's going to let you waver. He's going to let you walk away. He'll let you walk 500 miles away from him. But at the same time, he will walk your, if you want to walk back the same 500 miles that you walked away from, he will walk with you. He will walk with you.
Dude, that's not, that's fire, bro. No, that's perfect, bro. I just want to, I just want to close with the, oh, where am I? Look, I'm looking for Mark. Hold on, I want to close with the verse. That was fire, though, bro. I like that. 500 miles is crazy. Hey.
Yes, sir.
Hold on, I'm trying to find something real quick. All right, so this is in Mark chapter 5. Let me see where it's at. I'm trying to find it real quick. Give me 1 second. Loading. Okay, here we go. So when you said you just got to reach out to him, that is biblical. That's from scripture. This happened when Jesus was on earth. It said a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Just touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Reach out. That's all you got to do. You got to reach out. And once you grab onto the hand of God, miraculous things will happen. Maybe not right away, but like Wapo said, it's going to get better. Not, maybe not physically, maybe not, you know what I'm saying, circumstantially, but internally, spiritually, mentally, you'll be finding freedom. And that's what we're searching for, the freedom that only Jesus can offer. What did it say? She went to all the doctors, right? Great care of many doctors, and had spent all she had. But instead of getting better, she grew worse. Doctors, if you're depressed, going to give you pills. Doctors, you're anxious, going to give you pills. Therapists are going to reassure yourself, your self-worth, your value, all this stuff, right? We need Jesus. We don't need all that. You know? We need Jesus. That is the one true medicine.
Yeah, because it's definitely, it's one thing to say, like, oh, yeah, I need Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I want to accept Jesus in my life. It's a whole nother thing to actually believe that in your heart and really believe that. Because, I mean, faith without belief is not faith at all. You know, that's just, it's basically a pipe dream.
It's just a word.
Like,
it's just a cute word.
Like, with music and stuff, like, I truly, truly believe that that's my calling. That's why I'll never stop making music, because I truly believe that that's what I'm been put on this earth for. You know, and, like I said, you just gotta really believe in your heart, and you'll be all right.
Amen. All right, we're gonna go ahead and wrap up because we went way over time. So thank you for still listening and watching. If you're tuned in, if you didn't, well, sucks to suck.
Then they wouldn't even hear that.
Well, hey, God did. Yeah. All right, we're gonna pray out, but first I just want to thank Guap for coming on.
For sure.
Like he said, Instagram Guapo One of One. Apple, Spotify, YouTube, SoundCloud, he's on it all. B Guapo, my favorite artist in Tampa, maybe the world, and appreciate one of my greatest friends, bro. I'm so grateful for you and for your life and that you're still here, and I just know that greatness is on the way for you, bro.
Yes, sir.
We're going to keep faith and keep praying, so let's pray out real quick. Dear God, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity and this time. Lord, I pray that the Spirit has impressed your word upon our hearts, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that those listening and also those in this room, God, have truly, truly got a greater sense, Lord, of who you are, God, and that you continue to reveal yourself to us, God. I pray over Guapo and on his journey, God, and in music and in life, God, and just as a man of God, a chosen son of God, I pray you would continue to bless his steps, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill him, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would guide him, and Lord, he would do his best to follow you in obedience, God. Not trying to walk in perfection, Lord, but trying to walk in progress, God. I pray he knows that he has two brothers right here, Lord, who are praying for him and who want the best for him. And I pray that, Lord, those listening would seek out community of brothers and sisters in Christ who are gonna uplift in times of weakness and who are gonna pray when there seems to be no hope, God. Lord, we know that you are hope. We know that you are renewal, that you are revival. So we're praying that over us and over the listeners, God. Lord, I pray this would be a transformational week, Lord. I pray you would encounter your children who are on the edge, your children who are split, who are at a divided road serving two masters when they're stuck in the world, and also one in you. I pray that you would encounter them and show them that you are the one true way, God. You are the way, the truth, and the life, God. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, you would guide us down your road, your narrow road, God. And when we fall, we know you will always pick us up, God. Lord, just bless this day, God. Bless this time, God. And, Lord, just allow us to walk in your confidence, not our own. In your name we pray. Amen.